Good afternoon, and it is 16 minutes past four. It's Vectis Radio on 104.6 FM and online as well. That, then, is the popular theme tune to my guest for this evening, for this afternoon, for this hour anyway. Not the whole hour, because he's a very busy man, but an absolute pleasure, honestly, to research one of the best researches I've ever looked into. And I've got to introduce to you Graham Cole, OBE. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, Paddy. Hello, everybody. Great to be with you. Thanks for asking, Paddy.
Oh, it's honestly, Graham, it's an absolute pleasure. So thank you very much for joining Vectis Radio this afternoon.
Bless your heart, mate. Have you got as nice a day as we have?
It's a little bit on the cloudy side, but we've got to expect it. It's that time of year, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, we've got glorious sunshine here, so it's beautiful.
Oh, see, only February, and it's all good.
It's amazing. And getting better, they tell us.
They tell us, yeah. Next week's looking absolutely...
I've listened to your weather report, and it sounds like it's a pretty good place to come to the island.
Have you ever been to the island, though, Graham?
Well, do you know, for my absolute sins, only twice. We did a day trip where you went from Bournemouth, which I've played every theatre in Bournemouth, and the kids were down, so we whizzed over to you guys for the weekend. And then only one other time with the wonderful Vic Gallucci. I'm sure everyone knows there.
Never heard of him.
The classic car extravaganza.
Never heard of him.
The infamous.
Yeah. He's a good egg. He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
The classic car
shows he does are absolutely fantastic. And if it wasn't for Vic, I wouldn't be talking to you.
Bless your heart. Yeah, well, we do go back a long, long way.
Apparently so. So, like I said in the intro, you have been an absolute pleasure to research because, I didn't realise until shortly after the show last week how many fans you've actually got and male fans, the amount of people that messaged me and said, "I cannot believe you're talking to Graham Cole."
Bless you.
Look, you've just done so much and. Wow, I can't believe it. Where to start? Let me start by you're known, very well known as PC Tony Stamp between 1984,
yeah.
Between 1984 and 2009, and you appeared more times than any other actor. So how does that feel?
Well, wonderful. I loved every minute of the show. I still do. I get little goosebumps when you play the intro music.
I bet.
I still love it. I'm a bit obsessive, I have to say, about the build. Don't get me started, Paddy.
Sorry.
I loved every single minute of it. And you were talking of research. The fun for me was researching him. I'd never played a policeman before. And I went out with the real police. The Metropolitan Police here in London were superb to me. And I did their driving course. So when you see Tony Stamp drive the cars, that's actually me. We don't have stunt doubles or anything doing that. It was just wonderful, and I love playing him, and I know at the moment we've got the Lee Dwyer stories going on for the big ardent Bill fans out there.
Okay.
And that was a pretty tough storyline, I remember doing it, but oh man, just wonderful, wonderful memories.
Excellent. Well, for me, I grew up, 1970 I was born, so the Bill was very much part of my evening viewing. Quite late, when it first came out, it was quite late in the evening, and then they sort of dropped it back to about 8 o'clock, I think, didn't they?
It was. I think when we started it, I think a lot of people forget, it was a one-hour show when we first started on Friday night.
Yeah.
And I think you kids, you used to coerce your mum and dad to let you stay up late because it was educational.
Exactly. Yeah, all the time. Always had to watch the Bill, and now watching it on UK Gold a lot of the time as well.
So, amazing, isn't it? And the fan base that you mentioned never seems to wane. It's extraordinary. I got some great mates on Facebook that come on, and they've been talking about the Lee Dwyer episodes at the moment, and it's just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been off 9 years, I think.
Yes, 2000 to 2009, 1984 to 2009, and you've recently just had a bit of a get-together, haven't you? Do you call it a convention?
We've done a couple of conventions, but Misty Moon, who's a production company, we did one 2 weeks ago with lovely Vic and
that's right.
One or two of the other characters that were in. I had to try and remember two sets of names.
Oh.
So I don't confuse the audience.
Yeah,
it was wonderful. And we do, and I meet up with Mark Wingett, Eric Richard, and Trudy Goodwin quite a lot still.
Trudy, yes.
And that's wonderful. I know it sounds a bit quiche, but it really was a family. And we had such a wonderful time. All our wives and husbands all knew each other. All the kids knew each other. It was a very, very special place.
Brilliant. It's great. Vectis Humpty, one of the other presenters here, he keeps on about Polly Page, and I think he said it's his age, you know. So, Polly Page, yes.
Absolutely.
I remember very well.
Doesn't live too far away from me. So
does she not? Okay. One of my favourites, and just recently back in EastEnders as well, is Louisa Linton.
Yeah, bless her. Yeah. I saw her. I saw Louisa. I was out doing a theatre tour, and she was doing Grease at the time. She's got a great voice.
Yes, she has. Yeah.
And so wonderful, wonderful that she's back. She worked with Billy Murray, didn't she? Was also in the.
That's
bill,
right.
I think,
yeah, she did.
Was last on EastEnders.
That's right.
But I have to. I caught sight of it a little while ago, and she looks absolutely fantastic. Yeah, that is wonderful. Good
yeah.
for her.
She's doing great. Yeah. Well, look, this little bit of time is all about you, Graham, and I feel like a bit of like this is your life, which coincidentally that you were caught by. Michael Aspel for This Is Your Life,
absolutely.
For the Big Red Book,
yeah.
weren't you? Which is
very, absolutely hugely humbling. Yeah.
yeah, very well deserved. Very well deserved. So,
well you do get a bit worried when you're sitting there, who they're going to bring on and what the stories are going to be, I do have to say. Because you don't really, I mean, like you guys, you know, you just live your life. You don't think you've got anything that anybody wants to listen to.
That's it.
It's extraordinary.
No, but this is a funny thing for me because I'm a nobody. I just live on the Isle of Wight, and I come in on a Thursday and I do my little show and whatever. And for me, it's quite humbling talking to you because everybody that I've spoken to over the last few years have just been so lovely, and they've all got a story to tell. But yours is just phenomenal. And
well, radio is very special, and most of us. I started with hospital radio 40 years ago. So most of us have a real love of radio,
yeah.
and whenever you can do it. But you just think of what my head just goes, you're people in cars, people listening in there, maybe even on this wonderful day in their conservatories or their kitchens, and it's just wonderful. You're just so personal. They get on with their life, but they can listen to us. I think radio is such a wonderful medium.
Yeah, and I do know there's plenty of people listening to you right now, because all day today my little messenger thing has been going, what time's Graham on? What time's Graham on? But
so humbling, thank you.
But there's so much that like under the radar, if you like. Certainly for me, when I did the research, I thought I never knew that. I never knew that.
When I started, because you just told me you were born in 70. Well, so you were 4 when I started acting.
Wow. Okay.
1974, I started. Yeah.
Wow. But you've done the films. You've done Sooty and Co, didn't you?
I've worked with all the greats.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I always, on a Saturday, remember you being on Noel's house party as well.
Oh, that was wonderful. Yeah. With great Andy Paul, who played Quinnan in the series. The two
That's
of us
right.
played these inane detectives. It was absolutely lovely. And wonderful to, I mean, live for the BBC, from BBC Centre, live to 28, 30 million people
yeah.
on a Saturday night. It was just glorious.
Oh,
I
wish those days were back. There was a little bit of talk, wasn't there, a few years ago of bringing Noel's house party back. But
yeah, I think producer everyone's a little bit scared of live now.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right.
I think they like control. It's why we like radio, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
Which, by the way, you are live now, by the way.
No, I think they like a little bit too much control. And, you know, I work with a lot of comics. I'm a member of the Grand Order Water Action, and I work with a lot of comics.
Yeah.
People say, you never see them on television. And that's because they have to go out there, do their act, do their thing, and react to the audience at that moment in time, and producers just get very scared
Absolutely.
About what they're going to do or what they're going to say.
Absolutely. You just mentioned there, and I was going to bring it up as well, about the Grand Order of the Water Rats, which, of course, in 2009, you were King Rat as well, weren't you?
I was indeed, very
yeah.
humbly.
Yeah.
I was brought in, here's a name for you, by Burt Whedon.
Oh.
He was my sponsor to come into the Grand Order of Water Rats, and it's a wonderful organisation. We look after a lot of the ageing performers in their last few years of life, but it's also obviously a huge charity raiser.
Yeah.
And I just love it because we've got a pub in Grazing Road, and downstairs we've got our pub and a little theatre, and new bands are coming there all the time. Oasis started there. I've got a long list of people that started there.
Wow.
And it's wonderful now, and then we have our little laughingly called our lodge room where we meet every other Sunday, and then above that we have our museum, and we've got everything. We've got costumes and scripts going back to 1889.
Wow.
When the Grand Order of Water Rats was formed.
Yeah, well, I spoke a little while ago to the wonderful Malvin Hayes, who...
Yeah, of course, who lives on the island.
Who lives just not far away from where we are. And,
bless him.
He, I bumped into him in Ryde High Street, actually, last week. And
you know,
yeah, as you do. but that's the thing, and I'm sure... you're exactly the same where you live. Malvin just walks around Ryde, just like he's a member of the public, and that's nice, you know. He feels at home, and that's that, you know.
Yeah, lovely. I don't get pestered in Waitrose or anywhere else. Or
no, I bet you don't.
Wherever I'm going.
I bet you don't.
You just get used to doing selfies.
Yeah, I bet.
And hopefully you don't look too scruffy.
That's very true. No, appearance is all the thing. You've actually made our local paper this week as well, which I'll send you the link to a little bit later on, to say that you're going to be on the show today, which was very nice for the Isle of Wight County Press to do that. It was lovely. It is online as well, so that's brilliant. The grand order of the rats, I'd say you've been doing that for many, many years, raising thousands and thousands of pounds for loads and loads of charities. I mean, the voluntary police cadet you're a voluntary police cadet ambassador, the South East Scout in London as well, Greater London as well. Is there nothing that you don't do?
Well, I've been with Childline for 33 years as well.
That's right.
And when you read out that list, it's all to do with kids, because, to be absolutely honest, I've never grown up.
And why not?
So
why
I'm absolutely suited to be in and around kids all the time, because I get to, when my kids were younger, I got sent down from the table far more than they ever did. And so I'm really... And it's so humbling to be around kids. They're so honest. I've just finished my 36th panto. And if you're not good, they'll let you know. And I just love their honesty. I've got a grandson who's just a year old, and he's an absolute joy to be around. But that's the reason. You give back, don't you? You've had a life like mine. You're just very, very grateful. I was 8 when I knew I wanted to be an actor. Wow. And I've been living that life for 45 years close on.
That's a great, great dream.
It's been
great.
Amazing. Yeah. But in all honesty, you must pay back. If you're fortunate enough in life to be given a great family as I have and a wonderful, wonderful job, then you pay back for that, and you just say thank you, and do what you can.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. But Liza, there's so much under the radar with you, Graham. there really is. And if anybody... want to look into you, as it were, the website is a wonderful thing,
great. When it's used properly.
When it's used properly. And I thoroughly enjoyed researching you, just most recently as well, Holby City you've been in.
That was wonderful.
Doctors you've been in, Law and Order, obviously the big TV Burt. TV Burt with... Yes,
and Harry Hill and all
that's
the
it. Blimey, Casualty.
If you're a jobbing actor, as you well know, Paddy, you just take it. If it comes in, the phone call comes, you just run with it.
Yeah.
Francis Annis rang me up about Holby City, said, "I've got a nutty character for you to play," and that's what you want to hear. My missus says that I don't really belong in the business anymore because I'm a character actor and they don't exist. People just go and play themselves. I say, "That's boring. I don't want to be me. I want to be other people. That's why I joined the profession."
Yeah.
And I've got a wonderful, wonderful set of fans run by Glenn Quigley, the Stampers. And they're amazing because, like you, they come up with these photographs that I'd forgotten about. if you're a jobbing actor, I've got to pay the rent like everybody else does.
Absolutely.
You're a jobbing actor, you just duck and dive. I was very fortunate before the bill that I did 12 years in repertory theatre, which no longer exists, alas, in this country. So Glenn tells me it's about 160-odd characters that I've played on stage, let alone all the other stuff. So, I mean, that's... Wow. That's pretty amazing, and that's just luck. That's people ringing you up, and bless them for trusting you with the part, and you just run with the ball, as I say. Don't drop it.
Well, look, I know there's a few guys out there. There's Chris Jackman, there's Jeff Anderson, there's Mickey Howes, there's Vectus Humpty, there's Keith the Trucker. There's so many guys that would just like to say hello to you. There's loads on the Facebook page here. There's guys that are popping up all the time.
Thank you.
But it's lovely. And if ever you're coming across to the Isle of Wight, please pop in and say hello.
I kind of think I should come and do his classic car show. I'm doing one in Brooklands very soon.
Are you?
All the old police cars.
Wow.
So that would be rather special.
Yeah.
They do have trouble. They have to handcuff me or something because I'm going to drive everything. I'm a bit of a motorhead. I've had a racing license for over 50 years.
Have you?
Which is why I was able to do all the car stuff.
Right, of course, yes.
On the bill, because I had so much experience. But then I went to Hendon and did the driving course, as I said, with them. I've been a very, very fortunate man. Wow. A very, very lucky man.
Yeah, I just don't know what to say. I'm a little bit gobsmacked myself, and because you're just such a lovely guy to talk to. And
I tell you, one of the great things, Paddy, you said very early on, as I wander around and we go to Blue Water shopping and stuff, the Essex cops will come and talk to me, and they're all of an age like yourself, where they watch me, you know, and I never get upset when a guy goes, I used to watch you as a kid, you know, and, oh, that's brilliant. And I thought, maybe I could be a copper, maybe. And then later on in their life, that's what they went and did. And if you can influence people, if that's the right word, in any way, then that's the job done, isn't it?
Absolutely,
And that is so special when people come and do that. And they bring their kids up to meet you now.
Brilliant. So, that's fantastic.
You had a whole new generation.
You had a very early career as well, didn't you, as a singer?
Yeah, that's how I started with the Delphont and Grade organisation, for those of you that are old enough to know, as a chorus boy. And they were wonderful to me, and I would be in all the big show, Lulu shows or whatever shows they were doing. And summer season, pantomime, my first panto is in 1974.
I'd love to do panto. I'm actually going to the White Strollers at Medina Theatre this weekend.
Yeah. And, are you sure? And they must do a panto there. Don't they ever ask you, Paddy? Sure.
No.
We always work with the local radio.
I'd make a great dame, I would. Or pantomime cow would be great. I'll be the back end of a pantomime cow. I'm really not fussed, you know.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I love it.
Pantomime is so special. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. In fact, I usually play baddie, but this year, Anton Benson Productions took me up to Rochdale Theatre, the Gracie Fields Theatre. It was wonderful for those memories. And I played Merlin for the first time.
Yes.
And that was just stunning. And I had three illusions to do, and it was beautiful. I loved every minute of it.
Excellent. I can really tell in your voice you're just so passionate about everything that you do.
Well, I think if you're, you know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, if you're young and you had this dream and then it fell into place for you, who you have to thank, I know people when we do award ceremonies get really sick of us saying it, but you have to thank your wife, because the rubbish that they put up with for you to do it, you know, my kids as they were growing up, I mean, 1400 odd episodes I played as Tony Stamp. Those words have got to be learnt. And it's your kids and your wife and all those that suffer, because, you know, you've got to shut yourself away. I had to be in drawers and cupboards and all sorts of places. I'll never make a cup of tea and put a few more lines in the head and then go back, you know. But it's tough on the family, and everywhere we go, particularly when my kids were growing up, we'd go to Chessington with the Met Police to do those big fun days for underprivileged kids. And of course my kids don't get to be with me, because I'm with everybody else's
kids. Right, of course.
And it's quite tough on the kids as they grow up. It really, really is. They never quite get you. And that's why we used to go to America, because nobody knew or cared who I was.
That's
over
right. Well, I admire you. And I have, since researching you, I've become a huge fan of you, Graham. I've got to be honest with you. So,
well, Doctor Who, of course, you know. And
of course.
On a lot of the times when I did, Pointless, I loved that show. When I did Pointless and I mentioned one or two things, they went, yeah, but you're never credited on them. I said, no, but who would? You know, because I was encased in rubber for the BBC far too many times.
Right, yes. I found that quite odd when I was researching that. There were a few things that you did that you never got the credit for, did you?
No. I mean, first of the Cybermen and Marshmen and Melka and all those. But what was lovely about your career is that I did Melka, who was the Master's time machine, really, up against the TARDIS. And some 25 or 28 years later, I did a voiceover and played a different character altogether. He was a space cowboy. And they then asked me, would you mind voicing Melka? And so I then voiced Melka again for the CD version. And it was just fantastic to do. And that's what's great about my job. You just don't know when the phone call comes what's next. And that is glorious. If it keeps ringing, then we're lucky.
And then you get pestered by me, so hey.
No, not at all.
Hey, that's good.
It's fantastic.
No, it's brilliant.
And I think particularly, you know, cause when they put on the posters about Tony Stamp from The Bill, I'll say to the producer, can you still use that? And they go, yeah, because the kids are watching it at 7 o'clock in the morning before they go to school.
Yeah.
So we have a whole new generation. And I do honestly think, so I don't watch a lot of them, but I do watch them, but it holds up pretty well. And one of the things I would say to people, if you love our country as much as I do, and I love London, where I live, it's a bit of a travelogue, because you can watch The Bill and see the whole skyline of London change. 27 years The Bill was on the streets of London for. And, of course, the old cars, a bit like watching the Sweeney, the old cars and the clothes that they would wear all changed with us. You know, it is a bit of a travelogue program. I just love it. When you go back there and have Hollis and Stamp sitting on the banks of the Thames.
There we are.
Yeah. The days before the O2.
I got one here from you from Chris. Chris said, in the opening credits with the two Bobbies walking down the street, were a pair of those legs yours?
I was the one in the skirt.
I was. Awesome. And I've got one more here for you. Another one here for you from Charlie. Charlie says, did you ever want to be promoted, or were you just quite happy with being PC Tony Stamp?
I loved the fact that Tony was a beat Bobby, that he was out on the streets. That's where he loved to be. And, of course, I got to drive the cars. I mean, it's boys' own stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, driving, of course it is. Big boys' toys.
Flashing lights and sirens. Yeah. I mean, come on. And we had some of the world's greatest stuntmen coming with us to perform all the actual crashes and stuff that I would be involved in. So it was a wonderful time. But also, I think that very, very early on, rightly or wrongly, I chose to play Tony Stamp for policemen.
Right.
That was sort of my benchmark.
Yeah.
And because of that, I then had to go and research with the guys continually, because it changes so fast. I mean, within the months, it will change again. You know, the politicians will decide about stop and search or something like that, and the whole system will change again. So you needed to be with the guys. So I never got bored with doing that. 14-hour days standard would be for us on the show for 5-6 days, maybe a Sunday if we're doing the big stunts. But it was something so special to research, to find out. And so I thought, okay, hopefully people that are listening will understand this. I tried to put a heart inside the uniform, in the sense that, yeah, he's a copper, but he's the same as you. He's got the emotions, you know, as many times as he may see things, he still carries his prejudices and his likes and dislikes. And any given day, his girlfriend has slapped him and told him to go away, so he takes it out on the first person he sees. They're still human beings, you know. We imagine our policemen to be so different from us, and they aren't. They function like we all function.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a tough job now, and 80% of their time is going to be doing what social workers should be doing, because that whole system's fallen apart. Don't get me started.
No, we won't. We won't go there. Look, Graham, I nearly called you Tony then.
You carry on, mate.
Yeah, but Graham, look, I know you're very busy, and I don't want to take up all your time.
No,
and
you take me as long as you like. The missus has gone out because she said I'm doing this, so I'm all on my own.
Excellent. Well, Tony, Graham, can I just do a quick ad break, and I'll be right back with you?
You carry on. You keep me for as long or as short a time as you wish.
Thank you very much, Herbie. Right back with you. Great local music there, Lauren Hibbard, and I Don't Like It When You Smile. It's 16 minutes to 5, it's Vectis Radio on 104.6 FM and online as well. And I'm still highly delighted to have on the other end of the phone, Graham Cole, OBE. Hello again.
That was one talented lady.
She's a lovely lady, yeah, very talented, local music. We love to support local music here on Vectis Radio as well. So, Graham, off air, there's still Humpty, by the way, says hello. You sound like a real genuine bloke, he says. Not many of us left.
No, absolutely.
Definitely not. So, but look,
Graham, thanks, guys.
Off air, we were talking what's next for you, the way forward now, because you're still a pup, really, aren't you? You know, there's still life in the old dog yet, as they say.
Well, we hope so, yeah. I mean, one of the strange things about the business is if you sort of do TV, you don't do much theatre. If you do theatre, you don't do much TV, and then none of us do any films at all. It's really strange over here, that system, because in America it's slightly different setups. Obviously, they've got hundreds, thousands of production companies. So it's a little bit different this side. But, like I said earlier, Paddy, you just hope that phone keeps ringing and that someone sees something in you. Short films, we do a lot of those, and they're fantastic, 15, 20 minutes, and they're great to do that. Very often you do them for no money or very little money, but it's to help the production team and the director get their foot into hopefully making bigger movies. And I've done quite a lot of those over the years, which is fantastic. And also local community stuff, where I've worked with the Met, where Mike Waring and his team they do a film award ceremony for short films, and it's amazing to do it. So Rob Knox, if you remember him, he's a young actor that tragically got killed. And it's in his honour, and I've been associated with that for 8 or 9 years, and that's a lovely thing to be a part of. If you can share, so I love going to drama school, if you can share a little bit of your knowledge, and we can't tell you how to get on now because the business is so utterly different, but we can tell you how to maintain, if you get the chance, to work the lines. Everyone asks us how you remember the lines and things like that, and we all have our own systems. But just being around young people is just fantastic. So, alas, only in our papers, we only ever read the bad things. You never hear the good things. You said about scouting. You know, I'm out with young people who are amazing.
Yeah.
still, and the things that they do, and their mums and dads come. We've got an award ceremony coming up for the Voluntary Police Cadets very soon. And I'll be with the guys there with John and his team. And, you know, I turn up, hand out the awards, but these guys have been doing it all year with the most wonderful young people, and you never get to hear about them. You only ever hear about, you know, the horrible little what's-its running
things.
Around. You never hear about the great kids. And I'm with politicians a lot for Childline and for other organisations. And you just say, what about the good kids? You know, we never mention the good kids, and we should, because there are hundreds of thousands of them out there. Carers, you know, looking after their mums and dads. I meet loads of those. And they're extraordinary young people, and we should be very grateful for them. It's a good country to be in, this one.
Absolutely.
We do knock it a bit every now and again, but it's a pretty, you know, on the whole, we're quite a caring bunch.
Absolutely. We here at Vectis Radio run a 4Ps course for the youngsters with learning difficulties and whatever. So it's all about,
right,
you know,
absolutely.
And it's a great way. There's some great ones.
I think they're always saying to the politicians, you know, and I mean it honestly, if our volunteers ever decided to put down tools, you guys in government are in a heck of a lot of trouble.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because it is the volunteers and the carers and those that are out there doing it. You know, week after week, I'm supporting all sorts of charities around the country where people are doing triathlons and running marathons and doing, I mean, it's just an amazing thing to be a part of. And very, and I'm really humbled that I get there to do just one little bit of that, maybe the auction or something for the night, but it's a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah, like I say, if anybody wants to Google you to take a look at exactly what you do a phenomenal, you do just
yeah,
do so much.
Got an hour to wait.
You do so much. Okay, so how about if the phone rang this afternoon and it was the producers of Strictly or Come Dine With Me or I'm a Celebrity, would that appeal to you? Or
what a great question. I'd love to do Strictly. In my life, I've done 12 musicals, believe it or not.
Okay.
And as I say, about 30, 35, 36 odd pantos. And of course, I have to learn dance routines. But
of course,
the choreographers and the dancers around me make me look fantastic. Whereas I can't dance at all. So I would love that. And when Cherry and I, my long-suffering missus, 40 years we've been together, when we come out, we love to dance. But wouldn't it be glorious to actually be able to do without treading on her toes?
Yeah.
That would be something very... And I'm a big old lump, you know. I'm 6'2 and about 16 stone. And I'm a big old lump. And I'd quite like to lose a bit of weight. And I think they do on Strictly, don't they?
I'm sure. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I would love that. And I just love the production of it. The band and the singers are just extraordinary. I love that. Get Me Out of Here, my goodness me. This last year I thought was probably one of the best, where it was just really nice people in there trying to survive.
Absolutely loved Anne Hegarty. I thought she was an absolute angel, wasn't she? Brilliant.
Yeah, she works for the production company I do pantos for, and she is absolutely adorable. She's a lovely. We had Jenny with us this year
as well. Yeah,
from The Chase.
The Vixen.
Is lovely. Yeah, The Vixen indeed.
Yeah.
I'd love to do it. I don't know how well I do, because I don't know whether you know or not, but I had to have an ear operation. I was going deaf 12 years ago.
Okay.
And so they restored the hearing in my right ear, but my left ear is terrible. So there's things that I can and can't do. I can't go deep sea dive in. I can't jump out of aeroplanes and things anymore because of my...
But to be fair, Anne couldn't do much, could she?
No. But everything else, I would be more or less... more or less up, or I just have to watch the old water and stuff. I might put the producers might be listening to you at this moment.
You never know. Yeah, I think you'll be good. I think you'll be good. I think you'll get a lot of male support there.
One of the other things that a lot of people, you know, think, you know, because you on telly or something, you don't have, you know, we have all the same aches and pains. I've got tinnitus. I've had tinnitus for 30-odd years.
Nice.
You know, and you have to learn to live with that. But in the music industry, we all have, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, with earphones and all that sort of stuff on, and most policemen, if they're doing all the covert stuff with the little earpieces in, and particularly the guys on the motorbikes get terrible tinnitus because they've got all those radio messages coming through. So that's something else that I try and help with a little bit there, of how I overcome it and what I do to keep my life ticking over with bells ringing and whistles blowing in my ear all the time.
Brilliant. Graham, I've got to ask you, because I feel like I've known you for a long time, and I obviously have through watching The Bill, and I feel like we're friends now, but I've got to ask you. I've got to ask you. Do you do like after dinner speech or talks, or would you do it I'm asking you, would you do an evening with Graham Cole, OBE?
Misty Moon, who I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
We go all over the place doing those. Yes, I do. I do a one-man show.
Wow.
And I bring clips, and every now and again I sing. I'm very, very fortunate I do it on cruise ships.
Did you?
So I came off November. My first experience with Saga.
Was it?
And I've got to say, Saga, it was just the best. It was a wonderful thing to do. And alas, the male singer who was supposed to be doing his 40-minute spot was ill. And so the audience got me singing some songs I hadn't sung for a long time. So that was really...
I only found out recently that Saga doesn't mean what I was told it meant ages ago. But I can't...
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it was wonderful. And again, there, a lot of retired policemen and using up their pensions and things to get around the world and have a look. It's a great way to travel. But they're wonderful, wonderful audiences.
Brilliant.
But yeah, I do that. I do quite a few... They're not so much after dinners, but there are award ceremonies.
Okay.
So I'll do some research. If it were coming up to you guys, I'll do some research on Vectis and find out who your head bosses are and what naughty things they've been doing. Because people quite like the fact that I can look into criminal records.
Oh.
With all my contacts. So people quite like that.
Brilliant. Okay.
And so it's that sort of thing. Because I don't tell jokes, although... My after dinner is very funny, just for the very nature of being out amongst the public.
But I think you sound like a very funny guy naturally anyway. You're that calm kind of person.
I have to say, I thought I wouldn't like working on my own, but I absolutely adore it.
I bet you do.
Because you've got all the power, but it's wonderful. I did 2 40-minuters on the ship, and then they asked me to do another 40-minuter as an extra. So it was a glorious time.
Well,
bless you for that.
I will contact you because I wonder if you would come over and do a fundraiser evening with Graham Cole OBE for
us. We do. We do around a bit. I have to say, and I'm very, very lucky when I get return visits. I'm going back to the Langham, Eastbourne,
lovely.
I think in May, and that's a great gig. That's about 40, 50 people in for lunch, and we all have lunch together, and you try and not give too much away.
Okay.
And but I love Q&A.
Yeah. Well, I think you could be coming to the Isle of Wight sooner than you think.
Well, the Q&A stuff, Paddy, the reason it works so well is that obviously I know my life story, but when people ask you, it comes from a totally different angle, and it's really funny. And I love it. I just love the fact of not knowing what they're going to ask. Mm. I know you very kindly said, is there anything that's taboo? And I said, No.
That's what I like, straight away. That's what I like. Yeah, straight away when you said that, and I thought, well, that's great because you are who you are, and
we mentioned LBC again, radio, and I do a bit from there. I used to do a phone in the evenings. Did you know anyone before they were famous? And I don't know if you know or not, but I trained in orthopedics as an orthopedic technician, and this guy phoned in once and said, yeah, when I got knocked off my motorbike, I'm sure that bloke that's in the bill now did my leg. There's always someone that's going to stand up and say something, which is unexpected and always, always lovely.
Brilliant.
It's great.
Brilliant. Well, Graham, look, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on for this last 45 minutes.
Thank you, mate.
We've got to get to the news for 5 o'clock. I could talk to you for hours, and I really could.
Bless your heart.
You're
so
such a lovely guy. Thank you.
And I will come over to that island if I get the chance. And thank you all for your messages. It's so sweet of you and so humbling, and I really, really do appreciate you. Thank you.
Brilliant. Graham Cole, OBE, PC Tony Stamp, amongst many other things that you do. Thank you very much for joining Vectis Radio on 104.6 FM this afternoon. It's been an absolute pleasure, sir.
God bless you, Paddy. Thank you.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you.